What's up, everybody? This episode of Arc Junkies is sponsored by WeldDevils.com. For welder-inspired merch like t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs, WeldDevils.com is your one-stop shop. WeldDevils.com, we are devils. From Podcast Detroit Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan, this is Arc Junkies. All right, let's do this. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 12 of Arc Junkies. I am your host, Jimmy McKnight, and I am back from my trip to Chicago. That's right, I spent Monday and Tuesday in Chicago for FabTech. It was an absolutely amazing experience. It was my first FabTech, and just seeing the absolute size of FabTech, it blew me away. I was not expecting it to be that big. I've been to the McCormick Place before for other conventions. Nothing that took up the entire convention like FabTech did. And not just that, seeing everything that's coming out and is out already in the welding industry, from the 3M True Color lens to actually being able to touch and use some of the stuff that's already been out, like the ESOP Sentinel. Being able to check out some of the booths, like the ESOB booth even. I can't say it enough. I fell in love with the ESOB booth. Also the Miller booth and the Lincoln booth. And being able to meet all of the people that I follow and follow me on Instagram. Of course, running into Jody Collier and the guys from Welding Tips and Tricks Podcast, Roy Crumrine and Jonathan Lewis. Also running into Kane Kid, Rush Kane. It was an absolute pleasure hanging out with you guys. You know, the way I go to Chicago is a little bit differently than most. I drove my car to Michigan City, Indiana, and then took the train from the Carroll Avenue station. Because I don't know if a lot of people know this, but you can actually park your car for free at the Carroll Ave station and then take the train directly to the McCormick Place. That's what I did. And, you know, there's just something about getting on the train and taking it, you know, when you're on a trip that just adds to the certain sentimental nostalgia of the actual trip. Plus experiences that, you know, you normally wouldn't get if you just drove yourself. I got to sit with an entire Boy Scout troop. They got onto the car I was at. They were traveling to another station doing some kind of where they were going campsite to campsite. And I actually got into a conversation with the Scoutmaster about the controversy that's happening right now about girls being able to join and so on and so forth. And had a very, enlightening conversation that I would have, you know, most likely never have had if I would have just drove myself. So, you know, taking the train, it was, it's all about the experience. And I'm definitely all about the experience because then I can tell the story and kind of leads me into podcasting and then a better show for you guys. So, but getting back to my guest this week, Mr. Scott Robbie, the administrator of WeldPorn and just an all-around awesome guy. I kind of buddied up with Scott while we were at FabTech and just kind of checked out everything together. And, you know, we ended up we even got pulled into a welding competition for a Nintendo Switch that we both lost, but we both tried. That was the important part. We both tried. Nonetheless, he was an absolute blast to hang out with and drink with. As you will hear in this interview. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Mr. Scott Robbie.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, dude?
Doing pretty good.
Good.
How are you doing?
Not too much. Just sitting back. Popped open a nice cold brewski. How was your trip back from Chicago?
It was pretty good. I spent the last 2 days with the family, hung out a little bit, just watched a lot of TV with my one-year-old niece. Then the last day was like went down to I think 20 degrees, so I was glad that I was flying back to Houston.
Right, I bet, man. Yeah, it was starting to get pretty cold. I know when I was at the train station there, I was starting to freeze up, and I was like, man, I wish I would have brought my beanie. It's starting to get cold. Like, it's no lie about that windy city.
Yeah, so, I think there was a few places that were giving out beanies, and I was like, I don't need a beanie.
So, where'd you say you're from originally?
Originally Ponca City, Oklahoma.
You're from Oklahoma, and then you moved to Texas from there?
Yeah, my dad got transferred. He's in oil and gas, or he was in oil and gas, and he got transferred to Houston, and pretty much him and my mom moved out here. They both had jobs with Conoco, and both got lucky getting transferred down here. So
where does welding start for you? How old were you when you began welding or decided that was the kind of path you were going to go down?
I was 17, 18. I think, I was 18. I think I was in a bad spot before that. A year before that, I withdrew from high school and bad into like a lot of hard drugs and stuff, and got in a bad car crash, got lights lighted, flew up my passenger side window and everything.
Wow.
And I decided to go back to school and finish up, and one teacher took an interest in me and showed me welding. Well, he showed me how to cut stuff with the torch, and I was pretty interested in that. And I was like, oh, wow, you get to destroy stuff. And he said, well, now come over here and let's put it back together. So it just, after that, pretty much found something that I loved that, honestly, the year before, I wasn't going anywhere.
See, that's really cool, man. Like, I mean, we all kind of get to that point especially when we're in high school, you know, where we have no idea what direction we want to go, and we try going all directions at once, and it's usually pretty self-destructive, you know, and,
yeah,
you know, and not all of us, you know, get into a car accident or have such a, an eye-opening experience, you know, in other words, like you did. But the fact that you did, and it kind of gravitated you towards welding, which, you know, then in turn, you just, I mean, you held on to that. I mean, do you think that welding in general kind of really gave you your direction in life as far as where you were before?
Yeah, I believe that, because I had no idea where I was going before that. It pretty much, like, without welding right now, I don't know what I'd be doing. I'd have no idea what I'd be doing. I'm not good at sales, not very good businessman. I'm trying to learn all that right now, but it's taken a lot longer. And I took to welding naturally, seemed to come natural.
That's awesome. And now, since you've done welding, what kind of doors has that opened up for you? Because, I mean, I see on Instagram, you know, you have a massive following on Instagram. I met you at this year's Fab Tech, and I mean, dude, you were treated like a rock star. I mean, every booth you went to, it was, oh, Scott Robbie's here. And I mean, you were the rock star of the show. So, I mean, it's got to kind of be cool going from the average, you know, day-to-day job to then showing up at Fab Tech, you know, and treated like a complete rock star. I mean, you know, there's got to be some footwork done between clocking in and showing up there to be treated like that. So, I mean, what's happening in between there that you're doing?
Honestly, I'm not really doing anything different. All I'm doing is what I love. I'm welding pipe 12 hours a day, posting what I like. I come home for next 5 hours. I spend doing my side job, just something to keep my mind going. Nice little artwork here and there, posting that up, and, you know, then I'm just talking to everyone that I can. I probably don't respond to the people that I, a lot of people like I want to, mainly because I'm so busy, but, you know, other than that, I'm just, I don't really do anything. I just post what I like to do and see. And it seems to be working out for me like that. I didn't come on Instagram to make money, to make any sponsorships, not anything like that. I just came on to show people what I love to do, and hopefully someone can learn from me. And I have actually learned a lot from everyone that I follow on there and other people that I've seen stuff. Like, I found someone on Facebook 2 days ago, makes amazing art out of, like, really thin brass and copper, and it's just amazing. I was like, I have to have one of these pieces, and I purchased one for a Christmas gift. So she told me that if I want to learn some of the ways that she's doing, she'd be happy to teach me, and I told her the same.
So getting into the art stuff, when did you start making the roses? Because the roses that you're making are phenomenal, and it's super cool how you've turned them into wine racks even now. When did you start doing all that kind of stuff?
I started making roses probably, say, 8 years ago. Uh-huh. And it was just a real basic design, real simple. Someone asked me if I could make them something. And they challenged me and said I couldn't do it. And I was like, well, let's see what I can do. So I spent the company time that day making them a rose. And it took like 6 hours to make the first rose. Mm-hmm. And I think if my boss would have found out, I probably wouldn't have been there much longer. So, but after that, people seemed to love it and I kept making it, but I wasn't ever happy with it. Like, I'm still not even happy with my design.
Yeah.
I'm still constantly trying to make it more realistic. Like, the main thing, the problem I'm having is I want it realistic. I want people to actually look at it and go, that's a rose. And then they have to look at it and really feel it and all that and see, and actually have to go, wait, this is out of metal. So that's the hardest challenge of that. But I've been making roses for about 8 years, and it's still just something that I'm working on.
Well, they're coming out really good, man, especially with the new clear coating process that you were talking about.
FabTech.
I mean, how you're pulling that off, man, is absolutely what it's adding to them is just that whole next level. I mean, do you want to go into that a little bit, what you were talking with me about?
Brian from Rolling Bomb, he asked me if I ever tried a certain method of clear coating, fire clear coating. I was like, well, I've never heard of that. No, I've never done that. I've just clear coated it and like just lathered on clear coat, trying to make it look, you know, nice and catch your eye. And he showed me a picture from Brad from Hourglass. I don't know if you follow him, but he does some awesome work. It's a rose engulfed in flames.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so I tried that. The first time I did that, it came out terribly. I really lathered on that clear coat, and then I lit it on fire, and it looked just like the picture. It was engulfed in flames, and I was like, all right, this is awesome. It's going to turn out amazing. Then all of a sudden, all the paint started bubbling up. And so I contacted him, and I said, hey, I tried this method out, but it came out terribly. Could you maybe give me some advice on that? And he said, do a thin layer of clear coat, not pretty much soak it in it.
Right.
So I started doing that, and now it's actually turning out really, really cool. It's actually like a thin layer of glass on top of it, and it's just giving my roses a bigger definition, and I'm very happy with the results that are coming from it.
So let's talk a little bit about this year's FabTech. What were some of the things that you're going to take home from this year's FabTech that really stuck out to you?
This year, pretty much there's two welders that I'm really interested in. OTC, they usually do robotics.
Yeah.
And their main thing is pulse MIG. But they started tinkering with TIG welders. And I tried out their TIG welder, and it's pretty spot on. It's for how small it is, you'd think that's as big as a Dynasty.
Right.
The work that it is putting out. I was really impressed with that. And then the ESOP Rebel ACDC, I don't love a lot of aluminum, and I tried out their aluminum, and I was able to it was just like butter. It was like I've been doing steel all day.
Yeah.
It just, the aluminum just flowed into it. It's pretty impressive. Then there's a bunch of pipe fitting tools and a lot of jig that makes your life a whole lot easier. It's just there's a different level of fabrication that I've never seen, and just going to FabTech was overwhelming with everything being used in there.
Yeah, I think the ESOB Rebel, man, that was one thing that really stuck out to me as well. I mean, the whole ESOB booth really itself was something that was just extremely impressive. And even though this was my first year at FabTech, you know, this is not my first convention. I've been to numerous conventions, but this booth, I mean, they really knew what they were doing, and they brought it, and they brought the excitement with the fact that they're like, we're premiering the Rebel here at FabTech, and you're going to be able to try it hands on. And you're right, man, that thing, it's like, it was like using butter. It was just absolutely amazing machine for, especially for how little it was.
Mm-hmm. They're certainly on the ball for, it's just a multi-process welder that does everything now.
Hell yeah.
And it, and it's really impressive. It really pretty much cornered the market on that. And they're really knocking it out of the park with their multi-process.
Speaking of ESOB, the Sentinel, man, I mean, I don't own one yet. It keeps grabbing my eye, and I keep hearing everybody talk about it. And then I saw yours at FabTech with the oh-so-excellent airbrush job, by the way, with your American flag skull, man. Who did that for you real quick?
That was Perfection Airbrushing. He's over on Instagram, and I just noticed Facebook when Well Porn reposted it on Facebook. I saw him in the comments saying, hey, you can pick it up here. But Perfection Airbrushing on Instagram, he does awesome work.
Yeah, man.
He's not that well known on Instagram yet, but he does awesome work. I think he did an incredible Hulk one for Weld Porn, and that one was just awesome.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, no, it turned out absolutely, absolutely fantastic. Really stuck out. But the thing I wanted to talk to you about is, since you're rocking this hood now, what are some of the features of this hood really stand out to you compared to, say, you know, other hoods that you've been using in the past?
Well, I have a wide range of hoods. I actually have over 14 hoods that I have in my garage right now. So I'm
not trying to brag or anything, but
no, I just like I like trying out different hoods.
Hell yeah.
Like knowing what each company can produce, which each one does certain things for me. One could be for tighter spots, one has a bigger lens, all that. So, you know, it's pretty much kind of like a hood hoarder. But no, it actually impressed me. Whenever I first got it, whenever I first saw it and everything, I mainly wanted it because it looked cool. I didn't know if it was going to even rival any of the top brands of auto darts or anything like that. I just saw it and I said, I need that hood because it looks awesome. And then I actually got it and I started using it and it really blew me away. It pretty much, like, I've had speed glasses and all that, and it is right up there with them. It's got whenever you strike up the arc, it has a blue look to it. Like if you've ever seen those blue lenses, I can't remember what the name of them are.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of has that look to it, and that's really cool. I haven't actually had a lens that's, you know, cool optic blue like that.
Right.
It looked really cool, and then. Whenever one of the biggest complaints on the Sentinels was the cover lens, people didn't like the price. I think they were for five when they first came out, five for $25 or five for $30.
Yeah.
People didn't like that. So ESOB said, you know what? Here you go. And they dropped the price to them down to like five for $12.
Oh,
and
wow.
I thought that was pretty awesome that they actually listened to their customers and consumers and said, you know what? We understand what they are thinking, and we need to actually listen to this. It's been an awesome hood. I actually run it for 12 hours every day.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the hood I'm going to be investing in next, man. I fell in love with it, really, at the ESOB booth. I fell in love with that company, really, at FabTech this year. Everything that they had, man, it just seemed like they were on the ball with everything. And it seemed like a company that I could really kind of, you know, get, like, when I left there, I was like, yeah, I'm pretty convinced I'm going ESOB now with just about everything, just because of how cool of an experience it was at their booth.
That
OTC,
I've done a lot of work with them.
Oh yeah. 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 That's what I was going to say. You also did a giveaway. What was it? Last Christmas or something for the Sentinel itself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I've done the work with them, for the past year or two, and they've been awesome the whole time.
That's cool. I remember we got pulled into a weld competition, for a Nintendo Switch at the OTC booth.
Yeah, we did.
I lost.
I did too.
I lost.
He was like, you going to try it? And I was like, yeah, I've just never done aluminum spool guns, so I don't think it'll be anything
right
that's beatable. So.
No, but it was fun though, man. I mean, like, it was like, oh, the stakes are on now. It's for a Nintendo Switch. We're going hardcore.
Yeah, yeah. He was on the ball with that. He's like, I'm trying. Come challenge the other welders to come do this, come do that. Everyone was just like, you know what? We need to go over there.
So you're also an administrator for Weldporn. When did your ties with Weldporn all start to manifest? How did you get involved with Weldporn?
Well, I've known Marcus since I pretty much got on Instagram. When I first got on Instagram, I was going to stop welding. I wasn't happy with it. I was at a company that I was at for about 4 or 5 years, and I just wasn't going anywhere in that company. Mm-hmm. Started following weld porn. I saw all these amazing welds that people are putting out, and I wasn't anywhere close to what they were putting out. And it made me challenge myself to get to their level. So I started, posting more photos, asking more questions, started talking to Marcus a lot more. And ever since then, we've just been always in contact, always, liking what everyone's been putting out. And I believe last year he came up, he approached me on Instagram and asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. Asked me to be a part of it and, see if I like all the gloves and all the apparel he's putting out. And I said, yeah, send some out. I'll test it out. Since then, it's just been growing, and me and him seem to be growing more and more as, looks close to like a partnership or something. But, right now it's just administration, and I help run the Facebook page and all that. So
that's awesome.
Been a pretty, he's been awesome to me. I've been grateful for everything he's done.
Yeah, Marcus is a great dude, man. He really helped out with Art Junkies, man. Really, as far as us kind of getting our foot in the door, mm-hmm. So we're huge fans and huge supporters of you guys. Absolutely.
Yeah. Meeting you, that was awesome. You're definitely an awesome guy.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. So let's talk a little experience now for those who might they're hearing and seeing all the photos we posted about FabTech. They're hearing our stories from FabTech. But what could be some experience that we could give the next person who would be going for their first year on some things to look out for as far as make sure that you got some comfortable shoes, make sure that you wear some deodorant, make sure you pack your book your hotel room in plenty of time, otherwise you end up in some really dingy hotel in middle of Chinatown and you're spending $20 going to and from the McCormick Center. I'm just saying,
Yeah, we're definitely wearing some comfy shoes. You don't need to bring your own apparel. Like, you can bring your own gloves and hood, but honestly, it's all there if you don't want to carry it. Definitely wear those comfy shoes. It's probably going to be cold at that time, so make sure you wear a coat, depending on where they're going to have the next FabTech. I believe it's in Atlanta.
It's Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how cold that gets, but just to be safe, I'd bring a jacket. Yeah, don't need any filler rod unless you want to, cart around a couple pounds.
I was surprised. I didn't know this, man. If I would have known, I probably would have brought my own hood. When I showed up, I saw everybody else with their hoods. I'm like, dude, that totally makes sense. Why didn't I even think to bring my own hood?
Yeah, I was asked why was I bringing my hood. I'm like, well, because I like my hood, I'm gonna bring it.
Right. All right, Scott. Thanks so much for coming on the show, dude. I really do appreciate it. It was an absolute honor to meet you and hang out with you and drink with you at FabTech. You are a complete rock star at the show, and it was awesome to get to tag along with you. Before I let you go, please plug your social media where people can find you on Instagram, Facebook, and so on and so forth, and connect with you online.
Okay. My Instagram is Scott_Robbie. You can find me on Instagram there. You can find me on Facebook at, just regular Scott Robbie, or you can follow my business page, Clean Cut Metalworks, or message us on Weldporn. I'm on both. So
awesome. And I'll make sure to post links to all your social media stuff when this episode goes up. Thanks again, dude. It was awesome to have you on the show. Looking forward to having you back on again in the future. And if I don't see you sooner than that, I will see you in Atlanta at FabTech.
Sounds good. Can't wait.
All right, man. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. That is it for this week. Thank you so very much for listening. Remember, you can email the show, arcjunkies@gmail.com. I definitely would love to hear from you and get your feedback. Also, if you are an Apple iTunes listener, please remember to hit subscribe. That way you never miss an episode of Arc Junkies. And also leave a review, as your reviews help our ranking on iTunes and help us reach more people. Arc Junkies is now available on iHeartRadio, so all of your prayers have been answered. Yes, Arc Junkies is now available on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and everywhere that podcasts are available. A special thank you to our Patreon members, Tyler Meyerhoff, Cliff Cobb, and Joseph Huell. Thank you very much for supporting the podcast. I appreciate it very much. And until next week, ladies and gentlemen, stay safe and weld hard.